radical left has taken over the Democratic Party.
Hello and welcome to Think Progressively, covering politics and all the other chaos life has to offer. This is episode 25, recorded on Thursday, February 18th from Milwaukee. I'm Joe.
And I'm Jason.
And on today's episode, we examine if the Green New Deal is responsible for the current power outages in Texas.
I reckon it's not, partner.
Beautiful. I love it. Totally in good taste.
The fact is that everything he's saying so far is simply a lie. I'm not here to call out his lies. Everybody knows he's a liar.
Up first in headlines, let's quickly recap the Senate impeachment trial that doesn't mean anything anymore.
Roller coaster of a day. We went from, oh, this could go on for weeks because they're going to call witnesses, to, oh, they...
Nope.
They're not doing witnesses now and we're going to vote.
So coming as a shock to absolutely nobody, Trump has been acquitted with a 57-43 vote.
And a lot more voting to convict than we thought.
Yeah, and technically the most bipartisan vote to convict in U.S. history. So that's something.
Sure.
I mean, okay.
Not enough.
Is it not the most American thing ever where we have a 57-43 vote and the 43 votes win? That sounds like the most American thing ever to me.
Well, I'm fine with it needing a supermajority for impeachment because, as we've seen, the Republicans will not take this seriously. And if they could just vote to impeach
Joe Biden.
They would. I mean, you've already seen it in the House, right?
Yep.
If they somehow got control of the House and the Senate and all you needed was a simple majority, Biden would be impeached as quickly as possible. Ugh.
So let's talk about the Republicans who actually did have big enough stones to stand up for the country and actually convict Donald Trump.
Or painted themselves in a corner when it was revealed that they were drafting their reasons why they didn't vote to commit.
Also true.
Before the trial was ended.
So we have the usuals, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, Ben Sasse, Pat Toomey. Then we have the kind of infamous Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, who got kind of famous after he flipped his vote for allowing this to happen in the first place. And then out of nowhere, we had Richard Burr out of North Carolina.
I think we can call him Dick Burr.
Dick Burr.
Yep.
That's what they say. Better. That's what they say in Texas right now. We have all the best taste.
That's why you come here. All the highbrow news, right? Analysis.
Don't bother with the New York Times. Just come to us. They don't have the riveting humor that we do. So how do you think we actually ended up getting these seven Republicans that we did?
I think for most of them, it was political calculus, how much they could improve their position, look at what the polling was ahead of time, or what their role kind of is in the Republican Party, certainly when you're talking about Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski.
And I think like overall safety too, right? Like Mitt Romney's super safe. Susan Collins just won her election. And actually the only one who was up for election in the next 2 years is Lisa Murkowski.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm happy they did it. You know, they're still not good guys at the end of the day, but at least they made the right choice.
And I'm sure they knew that there weren't enough votes anyway, so it's not really that risky, even though, and we'll talk about it, they are facing some quote-unquote consequences from their local parties. Ultimately, this is a safe bet if they feel it's better for them, for their political futures, to do this.
Do you think if we did not have the majority of the Senate, they would have voted the way they did?
No, they would have, because then they would have faced more pressure from their party.
To even get like a majority acquittal?
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Jason, you may know this one, but I want to play a little quiz game with you. Who do you think said this? Quote, former President Trump's actions that preceded the riot were a disgraceful dereliction of duty. Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events from that day. So who do you think said that out of these guys?
That sounds like Mitch McConnell to me.
How did you know?
I may have seen
this. The news. So yes, this is actually Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, who voted to acquit Donald Trump and gave a very impassioned speech, also blaming him for the insurrection.
Well, we talked about this on the last episode, right? He can say these things and then still vote to acquit and then just say, well, it's not the Senate's role to convict a former president.
And that was his only argument, too.
Right. That still gives him the out, even though it's 100% the duty of the Senate to vote on impeaching a president even after he's left office. And specifically when you're not talking about, well, this happened 3 years ago, but now Democrats have finally taken control of the Senate and they can make this vote. No, this is something that happened literally right before he left office. You impeached him as soon as you possibly could. It is very much the Senate's duty to follow through with his impeachment on its merits and not just make some process argument for why you shouldn't even have the vote.
And it made Trump mad. Very, very mad.
Well, McConnell wants to try to get the Republican Party away from Trump now that he's no longer president.
He does, yes.
He's going to lose. As we saw, people are devoted to Donald Trump in a way that I don't understand and doesn't seem to match reality. But if I knew the answer to that question, I would just run for president as a Republican and tear the party down. It'd be fun.
You could be like the secret Antifa agent we all wanted.
That people thought Trump was early on when he was running.
Right.
Really a Democrat. He's just doing this to mess with him.
And then, as we said before, the Senate did vote to allow witnesses in a crazy roller coaster of a day on a 55-45 vote. However, the House managers and Trump's attorneys reached an agreement to bypass witness testimony. The whole idea was that the House managers wanted to get a statement from Representative Jamie Butler from Washington into the record as evidence. She was told about a call between Trump and Kevin McCarthy, which is the GOP House minority leader, where he basically just cussed him out. It was a pretty fun time. But unfortunately, they said no to witnesses at all. Jason, do you think this was a smart or dumb move on the Democrats and House managers?
If they were going to just settle for a deal, I don't see why they even needed to go through the process of publicly calling for the vote.
To me, it makes them look stupid. I did not like the idea. It did not make them look organized. It's a weird, like, we gave the GOP a random win in the middle of this, and I don't know why we did that.
The only thing I've seen for arguments are, well, they said that they would just keep calling witnesses forever, and they would call Nancy Pelosi and everybody else and just make a giant mockery. So let them.
Well, and they'd also try to hold it up in courts, too, with litigation. I mean, literally, like, McGahn's impeachment testimony is still being litigated right now from the last impeachment. That's how bad this is. So I get the idea of not wanting to do it. I just think they shouldn't have called for witnesses at all then.
Right.
So they did get Butler's statement into evidence, and I do want to quickly read that for you as well. According to Butler's statement, she says that Trump told McCarthy, quote, "Well, Kevin, I guess these people are more upset about the election than you are." And that was in context of a very heated conversation where Trump was saying things like, "Who the fuck do you think you're talking to?" And just overall yelling and screaming at him throughout this whole thing. This is kind of crazy, but I guess on par.
Are you surprised at all?
No, I'm not.
What I would have expected Trump to say in that situation, we already said it was reported that he was happy.
Yes.
That all of the violence and rioting was taking place inside the Capitol.
And even in that call, he was still blaming Antifa.
Yeah, that was happening
to Kevin McCarthy on a closed call.
Of course, because that's what Fox News was reporting right away, too. So that's where he gets his news from. That's, I guarantee you, that's the station he was watching.
You know, and I don't know. It's not a surprise, but I guess the idea that Trump literally thinks that Antifa was at his protest more than his own supporters is just insanity to me. Like, it's not even a talking point for them. It's literally like what he believes. It just drives me crazy.
It's what a lot of people still believe.
I know, and I hate it.
They all bought Trump's merchandise ahead of time. They all went down there. They had the Trump chants going on. They're really committed. And they are only all of the white Antifa members, too.
All in all, it meant nothing, though. So Trump got acquitted. But do know that this is the most bipartisan vote to convict a president in U.S. history. And that is a good thing, I guess you can say. So, but let's talk about these GOP senators again that did actually vote to convict and do the right thing. What's happening to them, Jason?
They are being roundly criticized and censured by their state GOP.
Oh, good. Like the rational thing to do, right?
Sure. They went against the great leader.
Ugh. Not cult-like at all, I promise. Senators Burr, Kinzinger, Toomey, and I think Murkowski as well have all been censured by their state GOP parties. This is interesting. Representative Kinzinger's family actually accused him of being with the devil's army for breaking with Trump.
So this letter is crazy.
Oh my God. I did not see the original letter. This is gold.
So I'm just going to read the first couple sentences here. Adam, oh my, what a disappointment, underlined four times. You are to us and to God.
Also underlined. Exclamation points.
We were once so proud of your accomplishments. Instead, you will go against your Christian principles and join the devil's army, in quotation marks, I guess, in parenthetically, Democrats and the fake news media. That's the devil's army. We're not in, well, technically, are we Democrats? I don't know.
I mean, I would say, yeah. How do you call yourself a Christian when you join the devil's army believing in abortion?
So did this just come out during the... I don't get what that has to do with the Capitol riot, but or voting to impeach Donald Trump. But whatever. Wedge
and,
issue, right?
And immediately after, just President Trump is not perfect. But neither are you.
It's a very long letter. There's a lot of underlines. There's a lot of parentheses. God.
There's John 3:16 in there.
Savior. This is born again.
Ugh. Oh, this is great.
Ultimate sin.
Wait, what's the ultimate sin?
Abortion.
Oh, abortion. Okay. And socialism. Socialism, the ultimate sin.
Jesus was a capitalist. He charged for all those miracles. It's not in the book, but you know, there was some money was exchanged.
You've lost the respect of Lou Dobbs, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham. Is that Greg Kelly?
It's another Fox News guy,
etc.
So you can see, like, these are like, yeah, you say Christian, but what they mean by Christian is Fox News. Those are their gods right there.
Yep.
Most importantly, in our book, Mark Levin
and Rush Limbaugh
and us. Like, you just and.
Well, that didn't age well.
Yeah. If anybody knows about the devil's army right now, I hope it's Rush Limbaugh.
You have embarrassed the Kinzinger family name.
So much underlining.
I know. It's great.
We are not judging you. This letter is our opinion of you. Well, that's what that is.
And of course, it's a Karen. Literally, her name's Karen. Perfect. What's the PS?
For your information, many more family members feel the same as we do. Oh, thanks.
They just didn't have the...
They have this is a letter, and they even have, like, asterisks and footnotes. Who wrote, like...
What does that say? They just didn't have the courage to sign our letter or write their own letter. Not me. We are thoroughly disgusted with you. Double exclamation point. And then goes on talking about how Donald Trump is the best ever. CC many conservative Republicans.
And they just wrote, this isn't an email. This is a handwritten letter.
And they put CC many conservative, they're CCing other Republicans in this handwritten letter, I guess.
Carbon copy. That's how you do it, right? You just write CC.
And then puts the footnote that Trump has done more, and then she screws up.
Yeah, it initially says more the people, and they had to change it to more for the American people.
I love how she had to clarify, not just
people. We're saying she, but there is a...
There's a guy there, yeah, too. Wait, go back down. I love this. So they had to put down, has done more, and then put a little for in between it, like haphazardly, the people. But they had to correct and clarify, say, the American people.
The only people that matter.
Again, as a Christian, it's not the fact that he cared for and helped people. It's only American people. Oh, this is great. You have to now put the link to this in our...
I have to. I don't do the notes. So that was basically a GOP senator getting a crazy rambling Dear John letter from his own family.
For doing the right thing.
For voting to impeach the president that they literally worship.
I also wanted to quickly just mention when Pat Toomey got censured, they also did quote from other state...
This is the Pennsylvania senator.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. They quoted from the Washington County Republican chair in Pennsylvania saying, "We did not send him there to do the right thing or whatever he said he was doing. We sent him there to represent us, and we feel very strongly that he did not represent us."
Now, does he mean the people of Pennsylvania when he says us?
I don't think so.
You think he means the Pennsylvania GOP?
I'm sure. And again, we did not send him to do the right thing.
Or whatever.
But that's basically what the impeachment trial was. Nothing more is going to happen with it. It's over. We're moving on now. Let's go on to the Biden presidency, I guess.
Facebook planning on banning Australia users from seeing news content. Why might that be?
So this is actually a very weird, but still very important news story. So what we have to know about is that the Australian government has been pushing for a law or a new law that is requiring online platforms to compensate news publishers for their content. And companies like Facebook and Google have been fighting this now for a long time, but the bill will actually pass very soon in Australia. Google decided to say, okay, they put their hands up in the air and started making deals with news agencies to publish their content on their websites. Facebook decided to raise a complete middle finger to the whole thing and said, fine, we're not going to pay that, and you guys aren't going to see any news content on Facebook if you live in Australia. This is a big deal.
Capitalism.
It is. But when we talked about free speech and big tech before, these are kind of the problems that we were talking about, knowing that just a private company can just kind of completely sever communication off for millions of people in Australia based just on how much money they're going to make or have to spend.
To be fair, if you're getting your news from Facebook, you should probably find some better sources of news.
And I get that too, but I think there still is a good way to use Facebook for news that a lot of people do. I mean, the idea of just following things like the New York Times or Axios or NPR on Facebook can also help with that. So this is, in a way, making it much more inconvenient for people to actually get real news sources. And on top of that, it's making it even worse because actually state agencies are now getting their pages and contact or in their content blocked because of this, kind of as like a, what is it called? Like not unintended damage, but
collateral damage.
So this is a big issue we have here. Anything from Australian wildlife preservations to like the meteorology groups they have in Australia, places are getting banned left and right and being censored. And not only are Australians able to not view things like NPR and, you know, New York Times or whatever, but all other Australian content will not be available to be viewed by anyone globally. So if you have any like Australian news company you may follow, you're not going to see them on Facebook anymore. Not saying I really do, but you never
know. I don't know, Grandpa. Just get your news from TikTok like the cool kids.
Are you on TikTok?
I am not.
Yeah, me neither.
I do use Twitter like that, though.
Yeah?
Where my Twitter feed is mostly news or things that I want to keep up on. I don't know, Facebook for
me. Why do you hate on Facebook, then?
The way it gives me content is so random. Like, things will pop up from days ago, like they're brand new.
That's also very true. I hate that.
So I don't use Facebook like that because I just feel it's too random in the way it presents information. It's dangerous when a media company that has a monopoly on its own product, right? There's no real competition to Facebook for the services it provides, can just make these decisions and thwart attempts at government regulation just based on how it sees fit and doesn't answer to anybody.
So I would keep an eye on this because this is a pretty interesting story and how it will develop. And even though it's not American-centric, this is still a big deal that could affect all of us here in the United States as well.
On to some good news. You know who's not alive anymore, Joe?
No.
Rush Limbaugh. Yay. Go cancer. Cancer finally got him. I've been rooting for that cancer for a long time now. And it finally won. So cancer won, Rush Limbaugh zero.
You know, I still like, I can't get over this is so mean. And I know you're going to appreciate it anyway because you're mean. But I still like the meme of so pro-life, but dies.
Hypocrite. So it was reported a while ago that Rush Limbaugh had lung cancer and he just did the gracious thing and died on, Wednesday?
Yeah.
And we can say here at Think Progressively, good riddance, you piece of trash.
Yeah.
I don't believe in hell.
But if there was one,
I wish you were there.
I can get behind that.
Do you feel I'm being too cold-hearted about the death of a fellow human being, Joe?
That's hard. Actually, I had a conversation with a good friend of ours about this exact same situation or question. Like, should we celebrate someone's death? I don't have it in me to do so. I don't think we should. But I also understand the idea of being happy that someone else is gone because they won't do any more damage, if that makes sense. And if you kind of believe like in karma and things like that, having someone who's done so many bad things getting their, you know, fair justice may also feel relieving.
Certainly don't believe in karma. I don't think it was justice, but I am glad that he is no longer around to push his garbage conservative agenda. He's inspired countless people to do the same. He started the industry of conservative talk radio, which has done a lot of damage, certainly here in Wisconsin. And I'm glad he's dead, so he can't do it anymore.
Here's one thing I'll say I'm very happy about. I'm extremely happy that he lived long enough to see Trump lose. I'm happy that he lived long enough to see the riot that he has been putting fuel on for decades.
Did you hear Trump's eulogy to...
I didn't even bother.
So Trump went on Newsmax and Fox News.
He finally broke radio silence over Rush Limbaugh, because that's what it takes.
And do you know what he had to say about Rush Limbaugh?
That he's God.
That he believed that the election was rigged, that Trump won the election, and that he very much believed that. And Trump won the election. The election was rigged. Rush Limbaugh, but the election was rigged and it was a fraud. And if Rush Limbaugh wasn't dead, he'd tell you so himself, because Donald Trump is a sociopath.
But I would also want that to be his last thoughts, though. I want him to die knowing that he lost the country and that the country is going to go hell in a handbasket and that he's not going to be here to help it anymore. And I want him to have that as his last fleeting thought, knowing that there's nothing he can do about it anymore. And it sucks to be him.
That's fine.
Is that aggressive enough for you?
Yeah, that's there you go. I hope he suffered too. I mean, there's probably through the fits of completely mind-numbing pain, then he can have those thoughts and realization that his entire life was a lie.
And then dies.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I truly think that maybe Donald Trump is solipsistic and just believes that when he's not around or involved, that things just don't exist. So the only thing he could think of when talking about Rush Limbaugh is how it relates to him, because he's the only real person.
Because he's a narcissist. Yeah. He was such a great man and he really loved me. What a freaking pair of losers.
Hopefully Trump follows him shortly.
On to our main segment.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it? It's hard to get any word in with this clown.
So what in tarnation is happening in Texas?
The stars at night are freezing cold deep in the heart of Texas.
Yes, they are.
It is certainly easy for us here in Wisconsin to turn down our noses at the southern states when they get an inch of snow and it snarls traffic. And
we do.
And we certainly do.
It is literally a part of Midwestern culture to show dominance that we can survive in cold weather.
Even though the first time it snows every year, we kind of...
we complain about it so much.
There's also cars and ditches everywhere.
Yep.
But this weekend, Texas suffered some record-setting low temperatures across the entire state.
And not just Texas, a lot of southern states did.
It was across the entire country, pretty other than right. Florida.
Right. But something about Texas made it exclusively bad.
So when the storm was kind of at its height, Sunday night into Monday morning, you had massive power outages that had occurred across the majority of the state of Texas. Those power outages lasted days and are still going on currently. This is Thursday. People have been without power. There's rolling blackouts. People are freezing to death in their homes. Water pipes are bursting and freezing. And it's been declared a state of emergency. Texas is known as the largest energy producing state in the country. So how did this happen?
Well, according to Republicans and Fox News, the power outages were all caused by Democrats, liberals, Joe Biden, the Green New Deal, clean energy, and whatever you can think of.
And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Because screw it, why not?
She is the right-wing boogeyman.
So several Republicans were actually seen, including Texas's Ted Cruz, were calling for federal aid based on the freezing temperatures and blackouts. Note that these same Texas Republicans were also seen earlier mocking California for their blackouts during the wildfires. And I quote from a tweet from Ted Cruz, "California is now unable to perform even basic functions of civilization like having reliable electricity. Biden, Harris, AOC want to make California's failed energy policy the standard nationwide. Hope you don't like air conditioning. Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor."
not the former ESPN host.
Was also shown on August 20th of 2020. "This is what happens when the Democrats are left in charge. Why California's liberal climate policies are causing electricity blackouts," and has a link to a Forbes article. And then also Attorney General Ken Paxton of Texas. "California's politicians did this, not the heat."
And we also had Cyclopean representatives Representative Dan Crenshaw of Houston on Twitter saying, "Alexa, show me what happens when you let Democrats control energy policy." Very, very humorous, Dan. That's almost as good as his ad that he ran
when he was like a
action
hero fighting Antifa, Mission Impossible style. And of course, these tweets aged really well, right, Jason?
Sure. They never come back to bite you later on.
But like, this just shows the lunacy of the whole thing here. Then we even have further quotes from people like Tucker Carlson, who are blaming windmills in the Green New Deal, saying that, quote, "The windmills failed, like the silly fashion accessories they are, and people died."
Which doesn't even make any logical sense.
No, and we'll talk about that in a second, too. And then we have Governor Greg Abbott saying, quote, "This shows how the Green New Deal would be a deadly deal for the United States of America. Texas is blessed with multiple sources of energy, such as natural gas and nuclear, as well as solar and wind. Our wind and solar got shut down, and they were collectively more than 10% of our power grid, and that thrust Texas into a situation where it was lacking power on a statewide basis." Now, I do not understand the absolute lunacy of using this situation that people are in right now, where you literally have Texans freezing in their homes and Republicans think this is a great time to attack Democrats? What is even going on?
It's called deflection.
It's so dumb. This is so stupid. But I mean, this is also the whole idea of the Republican mindset, right? Like, this is what they do.
Come on, power. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Taking the prize for most cynical handling of this crisis, you have a now former mayor.
This is insane.
Of Colorado City, Texas, Tim Boyd, stating that it is not the local government's responsibility to support you during trying times like this. Sink or swim, it's your choice.
No. We are reading this rant, this incoherent rant, because we're going to have a record for crazy rants we're going to read in one episode.
The city and county, along with power providers or any other service, owes you nothing. I'm sick and tired of people looking for a damn handout. Only the strong will survive, and the weak will perish, spelled like church perish and not like when you die, which is what is happening to people. Now he's saying that was taken out of context, even though he did resign.
No, hold on. We're not done yet. You ready? Quote. Now, this is like in some crazy Facebook post that this guy put, and the grammar is absolutely terrible. I'm going to read it as is. "If you are sitting at home in the cold because you have no power and are sitting there waiting for someone to come rescue you because you're lazy, is direct result of your raising. Only the strong will survive and the weak will perish." This is insane. Sink or swim, it's your choice.
Like, God has given us the tools to support ourselves in times like this. What?
This is sadly a product of a socialist government where they feed people to believe there that the few will work and others will become dependent for handouts. I can't believe any of this. I can't believe a mayor said any of this. What would you do if your mayor said something like this while you're literally freezing in your house?
Well, living in a smaller city as I do, I would probably go to his house
and beat him up
and steal all of his blankets and anything he has that's keeping him cold, and explain that this is me providing for myself and that he should ask God to protect him, or maybe get up off of his lazy ass and go work for energy. Doesn't even hold up. If
I know.
You try to.
You just grab a gun and start and just rob his house and just go, "Don't worry, I'm a libertarian."
This is me providing for myself. You need to take care of your family the way I am for mine. That's kind of these people's dream, right? Is for the world to turn into the road where you have to, you know.
I guess, but like, oh my God. But again, this is their mindset. We even had like Rick Perry saying that Texans would even suffer for more days and freeze longer just to keep the federal government out. This is stupid. We want to help you. Let us help you. I hate all of this. You know, this episode should be just called like the consequences of being stubborn and stupid.
I would go for the consequences of conservative political policies.
I mean, what's the difference?
So, after all of that nonsense, was it the wind turbines and solar power that caused this outage? Was it Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez single-handedly sabotaging the Texas energy infrastructure.
No, Antifa helped. Am I right?
Well, the statistics don't clearly indicate that, so we can say that yes, you are 100% correct.
Good. If you said I was wrong, I was going to ask for a recount.
So, what do the actual numbers say? Wind farms and solar make up only 10% of Texas's energy grid.
Like Governor Greg Abbott did say. But that means...
And natural gas is actually the largest contributor at 40%. If you look at the numbers, when production fell, which is what caused the ERCOT?
ERCOT, yes.
Yeah, the controllers, ERCOT, which they're the ones, because they're deregulated, like here in Wisconsin, we have one company, We Energies.
Yes.
That, which used to be a state agency, which probably should be again, but whatever. They own the power plants. They own the transmission lines. They own the control facilities. They are the ones that are responsible for everything. They can't blame other people when things go wrong. You have one number to call. In Texas, it's not like that. You have ERCOT, which is who ERCOT, Energy Reliability and something, Control.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, whatever. They're responsible for maintaining the overall control of the system. So they send power, they have to shut things down. They basically maintain the balance between energy supply and demand across the system.
That's
but they
correct.
Don't own the power plants. They don't regulate anything.
They just oversee it, basically.
They're just the ones that flip the switches and monitor everything and make sure it's performing as it should. So what happens in a situation like this, when you have these temperatures, the natural gas wellheads started to freeze. Coal piles were actually freezing in place.
Yep.
Wind turbines did freeze and weren't functioning. And that caused a massive drop in the supply of electricity. At the same time, there is this massive demand because we're seeing freezing temperatures, which you normally don't get in Texas. So everyone's jacking up their heat and, you know, the electricity demand is increasing while the supply is going down.
Basically the worst case scenario.
That can cause permanent damage to the energy infrastructure by having that imbalance. You have these transmission equipment that can overload and can completely break down to the point where they would have to be replaced. They'd probably be out for weeks. So and the cost would be tremendous as well. So in order to prevent that, you have these operators that have to shut people off and have to say, look, all the alternative is to just let the system completely fail and break and be out for much longer. So they had to implement blackouts in order to save the infrastructure.
And this is where you're seeing the rolling blackouts, right? And the rolling power outages.
And the fact that also they have lines that have to stay up for hospitals,
yep,
and police communication, police stations, things like that. They cannot shut those off. And their demand spiked as well. So the very little energy that they had available was generally stuck going to those things. And rolling blackout turns into, well, you might get power for maybe an hour a day,
okay,
if you're lucky.
So I want to make sure I get this straight. So we have the vast majority of Texas's power grid, which is being powered by coal and natural gas, are basically just stopped because of these freezing cold temperatures.
And there was even a nuclear plant that had to, yes, be shut down because the water that it used for cooling froze.
Okay, so what I got out of that is windmills don't work in cold weather. Is that correct? Is that what I should take?
Well, let's actually get into the numbers about what... How much was due to windmill production?
All right.
So, because remember,
I heard it was a big deal from various, you know, reputable sources that it was a pretty big deal.
So, yeah, Greg Abbott's quote was, "Our wind and our solar got shut down, and they were collectively more than 10% of our power grid, and that thrust Texas into a situation where it was lacking power on a statewide basis." He puts the blame solely on
renewable
wind
energy
and solar.
Yeah.
So let's look. Wind production fell 1 gigawatt below the 6 gigawatts that were predicted to need for the system. So the way they work this out is they say, okay, we need 6 gigawatts from wind.
Okay.
Well, they ended up with, I think it was just over 4. So even though it says 1 gigawatt below, we'll even give them,
like,
say it's 2.
Yeah. So one over one. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Electricity from coal, natural gas, and nuclear fell 30 gigawatts below the more than 60 gigawatts they were expected to deliver. So you had a 1 to 2 gigawatt shortfall with wind and a 30 gigawatt shortage between the thermal energy sources, natural gas, coal, and nuclear. And actually, even though it was blamed for this outage, solar exceeded the 0.3 gigawatts that it was counted to deliver.
And that's where you're probably seeing a lot of people say that solar actually exceeded their expectations. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Now, there is the issue where solar only produces during the day.
Yeah.
So during the night, you're not counting on solar, but that's built into the plan, is you know you're not getting anything from solar.
Well, and this is such a weird talking point from Republicans anyway, because Texas is becoming one of the leaders of putting renewable energies to work. I don't understand why they're even using this to attack it, because this is becoming a big investment that Texas is making because it's working very well and it's profitable for its own state.
And to even blame the technologies themselves for failing, like, I wouldn't say, because you see this too a lot from the left now, is them saying, no, the problem is the thermals. We should have more renewables, which, like, there's a many different reasons that you would say that.
Yep.
But because the coal and natural gas and nuclear did not deliver during this storm is not an indictment on those systems. We are sitting right now in my basement. We just went through a week of below zero temperatures. I think now it's probably in the 20s, I would guess, outside, below freezing still. I have lights, which are electric. I have heat, which is natural gas.
But Jason, have you ever seen a windmill?
I have seen windmills.
I don't think there's a single windmill in Wisconsin. I don't know.
There are a few. And they do operate in the winter. So the technologies themselves aren't incapable of providing electricity in these conditions.
Well, let's talk about that too. I mean, the next state leading for renewable energy, specifically windmills, is Iowa, which is a pretty darn cold state. You have places like in Scandinavia and Canada also using windmills. So this whole idea that windmills don't work in cold weather, that they freeze super easily, is just nonsense. And it's really dumb, unneeded nonsense either. Again, I don't understand why they're using this as a way to attack windmills.
And that leads us to the question of what is the actual culprit behind this?
If it's not
renewable energy, what was the problem? As we talked about, there are the three energy grids in the United States. The Eastern Interconnection, which we're a part of here, which includes most of the Midwest all the way to the East Coast up into Canada. The Western Interconnection, which is the entire western half of the United States, again, up into Canada. And then the Texas Interconnection, which is by itself. And you may have seen a lot of people talking about El Paso, Texas, because they are part of the Western Interconnection, because they're right on the western edge of Texas. They actually get the Albuquerque is closer to them than any other major Texas city. And they had power during this time. And that was because they're part of a system that is federally regulated.
Much larger.
It much larger, is able to pull power from all the way up that whole system, whereas Texas, being by itself, does have some connection to the eastern and western grids, but they're not capable of transmitting large quantities of power like they would have needed during this outage. So because they are that, we want to avoid federal regulation, because once you cross state lines, you have to be federally regulated.
Yes.
Which is why their power grid is completely inside Texas, because they want to avoid that kind of oversight.
We're going to freeze to death to own the libs.
They're not subject to the oversight from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which is the government body that regulates interstate transmission. Now, they did have some record cold temperatures, but obviously this is not the first time they've had winter storms in Texas. They've had storms in 1989 and 2011, which also resulted in large power outages due to the cold weather.
Where experts were literally telling GOP officials and the governor at the time, you need to winterize more.
There was a report by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and the North American Electric Reliability Corporation that said the large number of units that tripped offline or couldn't start during the storm demonstrates that the generators did not adequately, and they mean like power generators, not like a generator you start in your home, but like these power generators, did not adequately anticipate the full impact of the extended cold weather and high high winds. More thorough preparation for cold weather could have prevented the outages. And if you're thinking, well, you know, they thought this was a once-in-a-lifetime event, and now that it's happened twice, they'll probably, you know, get their act together and actually start doing the work. Well, after the 1989 storm, where wind chills reached 14 below zero and forced power plants to operate below capacity or fail to start altogether, much like we had now, same story. Regulators issued a slate of recommendations aimed at improving winterization. These recommendations were not mandatory, and over the course of time, implementation lapsed. That was actually in the 2011 report. They talked about, hey, we told you guys last time, and this is even before the modern Texas grid was built, which was done in the 90s.
Correct.
So they could have built it with this in mind, and they didn't. They started to use these best practices, but as time went on, and you didn't get a winter storm, they stopped doing it because there was no one to tell them that they had to.
Well, and this is also kind of where you're seeing a lot of reports of, you may see like reports or pictures from people in Texas saying, hey, we haven't looked at this electrical system in, you know, many years because we haven't needed to. And there are parts from like 70 or 80, 90 years old, which are just completely outdated and just like by some miracle holding together. So like, not only were these people not actually updating because they needed to anyway, they weren't updating the stuff they had that was already out of date.
And we have a quote from Alan Scheller Wolf, a professor of operations management at Carnegie Mellon University's Tepper School of Business. Some steps were taken to harden assets after 2011, and more will probably be spurred by this storm. But economic factors, including how much consumers will tolerate in the form of higher electricity prices, will play a role in those decisions. Are you going to winterize if you don't get your money back? The Texas industry values less regulatory mandates, and they value having their separate detached power grid. So I would find it unlikely that they are going to hit their companies with a raft of regulation.
And I think that kind of hits the nail on the head of where the big problem lies here. This requires a lot of investment, right? I mean, we see the exact same thing with the pandemic response, where we could have prevented something like this from getting so bad with the pandemic, but it required a lot of investment that a lot of Americans just don't see, therefore they don't care about. Same thing with this, and especially in Texas, where the overall school of thought is, you know, let's look at tomorrow only, not look at 10 years down the future. They're not going to care about actually investing in their own state because they're not going to see any immediate impacts from it. They may care about it now, but I mean, God, the Americans' memory are shorter than anything else I can think of other than like a goldfish. So the idea that they'll actually care enough to actually spend the time and the money, more importantly, to invest in things so they cannot have this problem 10 years later.
And with no regulatory body that's going to tell them
right,
that they have to do it. And that if they don't follow these guidelines, they can't build and they can't transmit power. All you get is a set of recommendations or best practices that they don't have to follow.
Exactly. I mean, you've seen things like Governor Greg Abbott say, you know, oh, I'm opening an investigation into ERCOT. I mean, great, but for what? Like,
these they are just, did what they're supposed to
right,
do.
This is just common practice. You wanted them to do it how they've been doing it for the last 10, 20 years. You didn't learn from your mistakes prior. This is what happens.
And as we talked about, they don't own the plants. They don't own the lines.
They just oversee things.
There's nothing they can do about it. Right. They don't have any say into how any of this stuff is built because it's all deregulated.
So what do you think Texas is actually going to do with this? Like, what do you realistically think is going to happen?
Exactly what the professor from Carnegie Mellon said. They'll make some changes right away. Next year, we won't get a storm. They'll stop doing it. Anytime new lines are run, anytime new plants are built, they won't think about it because it won't be a regulation. It won't be a law. And they'll be fine for 5 years until we get the next, although with climate change, who knows if it'll even be that long. And then we'll be back to the same situation when it happens again. And that's another thing, bringing up climate change, that's another reason why conservative policy and Republican policy is to blame here. If you don't think climate change is real, you don't take the idea seriously that these types of events are going to happen more often. Why do we keep getting... I hadn't heard the term polar vortex growing up here in Wisconsin up until the last 5 years. And then you hear it constantly.
I say every other year now.
Where the polar air is not staying. swaying over the North Pole like it traditionally does, and you get these jets that come down, and this one covered the entire country, and this seems to be happening about every year, and you keep voting for people that tell you it's all fake news.
I mean, we literally went through the reactions.
And then they just fly to Cancun with their family.
And I was just going to say, we didn't even talk about Ted Cruz going to Cancun. How did we not mention Ted Cruz in all this, Jason?
That's what happens when your state is suffering one of the worst crises it's been through in recent times, and you're an elected official. You flee the state for warmer and better climate. And then also blame it on your family when somebody calls you out on it. And then say, no, actually, I wasn't going on vacation, even though I had a full bag packed. I was only going just to bring my kids down there. I was going to come right back the next day.
With a full suitcase.
With my full suitcase. And even though I have to come back on standby for some reason, maybe he couldn't book a flight properly when he left.
Maybe he didn't have a ticket or something. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, those last minute international flights.
Do you think Republicans are actually going to face consequences for this? Because
not in Texas. No.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask. So I think the only one that I ever faced consequences at all is Ted Cruz. I don't think any congressional Republican would. I don't think Greg Abbott would. I don't think, you know, Dan Patrick or who was their attorney general? Ken Paxton would. I think those are all solid.
But Cruz doesn't have to run for 4 more years. Everyone's going to forget about it by
which
then.
Which is also very true. This is such a weird thing that Republicans are taking a political stance on. And not even just Texas Republicans. Like, all the GOP from around the country are using this as a way of attacking liberals and attacking the Green New Deal and attacking AOC and attacking windmills and attacking science. I don't know. I want to believe that they're going to face consequences for something so stupid, but I can't do it because I know the world we live in.
And the bottom line is, like we said, this weather pattern was over the entire United States. That covers minus Florida, but that covers other southern states that also don't generally experience this kind of cold weather.
And you don't see the same problems
happening. And they didn't have the same issue.
Well, and it's, again, the exact same thing with the pandemic. No one is saying it's Trump's fault that we had the pandemic to begin with. We are blaming bad leadership and short-sighted decision-making for the consequences that they produce. It's the same thing here. You had people who do not care about following science. You had people who do not care about making investments in their own state and their own communities. And you reap what you sow. That's literally what this is.
And it's the fault of their capitalistic system in Texas.
100%. And we can also say that they can have their system in Texas because, like you said, every state is different in how they handle their energy, right? So you can have a more deregulated system if you really wanted to in Texas because every state has their own thing. But just make it better, for God's sakes. Accept the help when it's given to you and understand that accepting help is okay. Hey, stop with this standoffish BS nonsense that you have to go, I am proud to be a Texan. I am proud of the Lone Star State. And you're freezing to death in your bathroom, surrounded by your tropical plants. I don't know. It's just so stupid, man.
And one thing we didn't talk about as well with the deregulated system, even if you manage to have power during this blackout period, you might wish you didn't. Depending on the power company that you're getting your power from and what their policies are, you might be paying market price for the energy that you were getting during this time. And I saw numbers as high as 16,000% increase.
Holy crap.
In what the companies were paying for energy during this time. So you might get a bill that's a few thousand dollars more than what you're expecting if you had power during this. Whereas other areas, the energy prices are capped. And I know it's even in some areas of Texas. It really depends on where you are and how bad you might end up having this bill. That's a problem. And while the large energy companies that are going to have to make repairs after this is all over and probably put in some money into their infrastructure will most likely get federal aid that we talked about earlier because of politicians like Ted Cruz and Greg Abbott and the people who vote for them. You are not going to get any federal aid as a individual consumer to help pay for that gigantic energy bill and to fix your water pipes that might have frozen and burst, or to pay for all of the gas people are running their cars to try to keep warm. I saw at least two people who died of carbon monoxide poisoning yep. doing that. It is a conservative and Republican policy to always bail out the giant rich corporations that were making tons of profit throughout this entire time when something happens, but to just leave the individual people like we saw with that mayor in Colorado City. You're on your own. Sink or swim. That's a Republican. That is conservative values. Yeah, we'll bail out the corporations. They're the ones that matter, not the individual person. There's plenty of you. I don't care what happens to you.
So maybe the new title of this episode, quit voting for people who are trying to kill you. Thank you for listening. We hope to see you in the next episode. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at ThinkProPod. You can email us at thinkpropod@gmail.com. And remember, when in doubt, think progressively. Yeah, Senators Burr and Kinzinger, Burr, Kinzinger, ah, come on.
Which Burr?
Are there multiple Senator
Burrs? Is it Bill Burr?
Oh, is it Bill Burr? Yeah.
He's a comedian.
Oh, that's who he is.
I just wanted you to say Dick Burr.
Got it. I missed the joke. I'm sorry.
You want to do your story?
No,
we have some shit on it.
Or no, you don't have to do it. I just threw it on there for fun. We have more than enough.
The emoji isn't cool anymore. When I was a kid, we had emoticons, and that was good enough. You wanted to do a smiley face, you used a colon and a parentheses, like a man.
Like a man. not these gender neutral.
Pick your picture of a smile. That's the whole point of them, though, right? Is that it's made with, like, punctuation. It's their fun. When it's just a picture of a face, it's just stupid.
Yeah, but I feel like emojis are so much like more practical than having to do emoticons, and they just look better anyway.
But emoticons is the way you cheat the system.
If they
codify it with emojis, that destroys the entire point. All your capitalist goddamn emojis need to get with the proletariat emoticons.
Do you know why Gen Z doesn't think the happy?
Because their parents use it.
Well, it is that, but do you know what is more fun to use instead of the laughing emoji? According to the CNN article.
Eggplant?
No, the skull emoji, because they are now dead.
Well,
because
that's a whole thing. Because that's an overused. That's the thing. And this, none of this is going in the podcast. But this whole, like, I'm an individual. And then you look at YouTube comments. They're all the same thing.
They are all the same.
They're all like, today I was X number of days old when I learned that. Like, come on. Be original. Even when you're commenting on something, you just do a bit.
Yes.
Kids these days.
Oh,
come up with your own material.
That's
Jimmy.
Great. I love the poetic irony. That's great. All right, let's do this. And there's your outtake.
Yeah, probably.